Please rise. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning as we continue with our survey of the book of Genesis is taken from Genesis chapter 18, where we begin at first verse. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, Do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, Here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, No, but you did laugh. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. It's an expression found in the Minnesotan dialect of the English language, but I'm not sure if it's used among the Upers. When someone stops by to visit during the time of a regular meal, the host will say to his visitors, Since you're here, let's have a little lunch. If you've never lived in Minnesota, then I should explain that when someone says, Let's have a little lunch, that doesn't mean that they're simply going to serve tiny sandwiches, but that might happen. The expression a little lunch can mean anything from a light meal to a five-course meal. Let's have a little lunch means simply, sit down. Let me get you something to eat. When what appeared to be three men appeared to Abraham suddenly in the vicinity of Abraham's tent door, by the large trees at Mamre, not far from Hebron, the patriarch offered them a little lunch. But as we'll see, a morsel of bread for Abraham wasn't a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or some spam. It turned out that there was a little something for everyone. We'll use that expression as our theme this morning, a little something for everyone. And we will see how on this occasion there was an opportunity for Abraham to exercise his faith in providing for the needs of three strangers. There was also a little something for Sarah. For the reason that the Lord appeared under the tall trees was to confirm to her the promise that she would indeed give birth to a son from whom ultimately the Savior would come. We'll also find that in this scripture there is a little something for each of us, as we are reminded to look for opportunities to exercise our faith, to dwell on God's promises, and to remember that God knows even the thoughts of our hearts and still loves us. It's no laughing matter. May God the Holy Spirit bless our study of these words, remembering that all these things happen to them as examples, and they have been written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Amen. It was during the heat of the day, probably the early afternoon hours, when Abraham found himself sitting in the shade of his tent. He was 99 years old. He was probably taking a nap. When he opened his eyes and looked out the door of his tent, he suddenly saw three men standing in the distance under one of the large trees. It probably wasn't a surprise to see people in the area, since Abraham was camped near Hebron, probably along an important trade route that went from north to south in the Judean hills. The scripture here tells us that the Lord appeared to Abraham, and then it proceeds to tell us exactly how that happened. Abraham saw what appeared to be three men in the distance. One of them, the Lord himself in human form. The other two, angels. But there isn't any reason given in this scripture that reveals that Abraham recognized them for who they were. It was for Abraham an opportunity to exercise his faith and to provide for the needs of others. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly make ready three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Again, let's not forget that Abraham was 99 years old. Pretty energetic, wouldn't you say? He urged the three strangers to sit down and he'd have water brought to wash their feet. It was common courtesy in a dusty, arid region like Palestine. Why? Well, you know how your feet get if you go for a hike in sandals. Abraham also offered to bring them a bite to eat, and they agreed to stay. But Abraham's offered morsel of bread was a bit more than a piece of buttered bread. When he asked Sarah to throw together this little morsel, he instructed that three measures or seas of seed, or of seed rather, of flour be used for the bread. Perhaps 30 quarts. There would be plenty. In addition, he personally chose a young calf and instructed a servant to butcher it and prepare it. He gathered curds, literally, probably a type of cheese and nut butter, and milk, and set the little lunch before them. And they ate. Now, we may wonder how the Lord God and two angels could eat food. But let's simply remember that with the Lord, nothing is impossible. And they didn't eat Abraham's food because they needed it for their journey. Even as Jesus would later eat broiled fish and honeycomb, not because he needed it, but for the sake of his disciples. Abraham himself didn't join them. He stood by like a servant prepared to provide anything else they might need. So do you think that Abraham's hospitality was overkill? was his service lavish and unnecessary? If we think so, then perhaps we should review our own hearts. When the Apostle Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual fruit prompted by the Holy Spirit and produced by a living faith, he describes these attitudes: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we walk down the street and see other people, we should train ourselves to see them all as people for whom Jesus died. Instead of looking down our noses at the shabby appearance of some or bearing a grudge against others, we, like Abraham, should be ready to exercise our faith and show love toward others. But let's not look to be hospitable, to pat ourselves on the back, but to glorify our Savior God. This wasn't, after all, a test for Abraham to see if he would pass hospitality 101. It was an opportunity for him to exercise his God-given faith. No doubt thinking of this exact event, the writer to the Hebrews encourages every one of us when he says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." So let's look for opportunities to exercise our faith, to reflect Jesus' love to others, not only by inviting strangers to lunch, but by bringing to them the saving message of what Jesus has done for us all. Not only towards those we love, but even to strangers. There was also a little something for Sarah. For as they were eating, or perhaps after they finished, the three men began asking Abraham about his wife. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Now, in our social media world, where people seem ready and willing to reveal the most private and personal things about themselves on Facebook every day, we probably wouldn't blink if someone asked us about our spouse. On the other hand, if somebody called on the phone and asked for our social security number or bank routing number, we might be a little hesitant on that. But questions like this one were not typical in Abraham's day, especially from strangers. It was probably contrary to common courtesy to ask a man about his wife, especially to use her personal name. I can't help but wonder if the question caused Abraham's 99-year-old heart to skip a little bit. But there's more here than a possibly uncomfortable question about a man's wife. It was possible, after all, if the men were from the area, they might know that Abraham had a wife named Sarai. They might even know that her name was Sarai. But what they wouldn't have known was that her name had recently been changed by God. In the previous chapter of Genesis, Moses reveals that the Lord had appeared to Abraham and promised him that his wife would give birth to a son. And then the Lord said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." So you see, the Lord had changed Sarai's name to Sarah, from princely to princess, because she would be the mother of nations, and kings of people would rise from her. So how would three strangers know such a thing? Well, because one of them was the Lord, and the other two were angels. But that's not revealed to us until the 13th verse. So whether concerned or intrigued or not, Abraham simply answered the question here in the tent. And it was then that the leader of the three men revealed the purpose of his coming to Abraham. You see, God had already revealed to Abraham that Sarah would give birth to a son at the age of 90, a son through whom the promised Savior would come. But now the Lord came as a stranger to personally reveal to Sarah that she would give birth to a son. The difference was, this time, it was spoken aloud in her hearing. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? This is a somewhat sensitive question for you ladies. Let's suppose that the time of womanhood has passed for you and you no longer have the monthly visitor. Let's suppose also that you are 90 years old. How would you react if someone told you that you were going to have a child? Well, you'd probably react like Sarah did. She laughed. But she laughed within. She did not guffaw out loud and start pounding the floor of her tent. She reacted like most human beings would. And such a reaction is warranted, except when the promise comes from God. Abraham and Sarah had been promised that from them a great nation would rise, more numerous than the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. But since God hadn't given them any children, they tried to make it happen themselves with a girl named Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian maid, 13 years earlier. Sarah laughed at the promise, but she wasn't the only one. In fact, Abraham had also laughed when it was revealed to him, though perhaps not in unbelief, but in joy. In a year's time, when they had a son, they would name him Isaac. You know what that means? Laughter. And Sarah would say, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. But under the tall trees, it was no laughing matter. God's promises never are, because he's faithful and he keeps his promises, no matter how unbelievable, no matter how fantastic they seem. After all, with God, no word of promise is impossible. Whether it be the creation of the world, the birth of a child to a barren woman or a virgin, or the promise to create faith in the hearts of human beings, with God, all things are possible. Therefore, when today you hear the words of Jesus, this is my body given for you, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, laugh only for joy, knowing that this promise of God is sure and certain. When the world around us laughs at the promise of Jesus to return to judge the living and the dead, neither tremble nor doubt. But remember the promise of God in Scripture, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is always a dangerous thing to make light of or laugh at the promises of God. And in this case, the Lord called out Sarah and called her to repentance. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. There's also a little something here for all of us. Yes, like Abraham, we should be ready to exercise our faith in works of love, doing so in thanksgiving for the love our Savior Jesus has shown to us. And yes, we should not doubt but dwell on the promises of our God and hold them in our hearts by faith. We should also remember that God knows the thoughts of our hearts and minds. He knows when we laugh to ourselves. He knows when we doubt. He knows all things, and yet he still loves us. He knows who we are in the dark and in the light. And despite all of this, he sent his son, a little something for the Virgin Mary and for the whole world, to make things right, to pay our debt, and to take away our guilt. And also, fully knowing his disciples, the same Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took a little something, a little bread, a little wine. And then he said in their hearing that along with that bread and wine, his disciples receive his body and blood to confirm their debt is paid in full. Should we question this promise? Is anything too hard for the Lord? After all, he promised a 99-year-old man and a barren wife a son, and he delivered. He's promised us still greater things. God, help us to cling to those promises, which are no laughing matter. A little something for everyone and more. Praise God. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.